Well, good morning, everyone. And a very, very warm welcome to you, to those who are here in Penrith Methodist Church and to those who are joining us on the live stream or on catch up a little bit later on. It's a great joy to be with you today. It does seem a bit odd, me as a visitor welcoming you to your church family and your worship. But for those who don't know me, my name is Gary Crageen. And I'm the Penrith Mission Community and Area Leader. And it's just a great joy to be with you today, as it always is. And I'm always grateful for the support and the welcome from PMC. And so it's good to come together as God's people to worship him. So let's just bow our heads for a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new day. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you, be it together here in this building or wherever we are. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, that we may behold something of your glory. For we long for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the opening song, the opening hymn, will be on the screen for us. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Now, we all know that at the moment we're not permitted to sing, even though a lot of us are chomping at the bit to be able to do so. I'm going to suggest we still stand if we're able to. And you can hum into the mask. And those, of course, who are watching from home, you just sing out till your hearts are content. For this great hymn that reminds us of the source and that sure foundation of our faith, which is Jesus Christ. Let's stand as we follow the words, reflect on them.
Here in the love of Christ.
Would you please be seated? Apparently what I ought to have done, and I ought to have perhaps given the notices at the beginning rather than now, I'm going to just do that very, very briefly. Just to say that, of course, you'll know that it's your annual meeting next week. Do please take this leaflet as you leave, if you haven't got one already. Also, I know the church has used the opportunity coming out of COVID to review the vision for Penrith Methodist Church and the circuit, and so there's a vision document there as well for you. Also to mention that Encounter resumes next week. It's at 7:30, then the usual 6:30 time slot, and it's an Encounter evening service for Pentecost. Also to say that if there are any children who might be struggling within the service, there's some provision for them. Tracy is going to look after, and maybe in our next hymn is when, you know, children can go for their session, as it were. But, you know, in that wonderful hymn that we've just sung, we've been reminded of how Jesus, in his death on the cross, has rescued us and saved us from sin's curse. But whenever we come together, we acknowledge that we all do sin and fall short of God's purposes. And so it's good to acknowledge that, to put our hands up and to admit it. And so there's a prayer coming on the screen now when we can say sorry to God in the knowledge that he is always ready to forgive us when we turn to him. So let's just spend a moment of quiet as we bring to God those things we have said, thought or done which has marred his image in us, and then we'll join in this prayer together. And so we pray, most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And Heavenly Father, we do thank you that in Jesus there is forgiveness. We thank you that there is no condemnation for those who are in him. We thank you for so great a love and so great a Saviour. Help us by the power of your Spirit at work within us to live lives pleasing to you, reflecting something of your love and of your glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're now going to have our Bible reading, and Jill will read for us this morning.
The reading is from John 17, whoops, and it's verses 6 to 19, excuse me, and it can be found on page 1085 of the Church Bibles. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Amen.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Jill, for reading for us. And we'll be picking up on that Bible reading a little bit later on. When I spoke with Tim in readiness for this service, I wasn't sure whether you followed a similar thing to a lectionary or not. And he told me sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. Well, this is one of the set readings which many churches will be pondering together today. But before we look at it a little bit further, we're going to sing again, Purify My Heart. And we're really grateful to the worship band for leading us this morning. Purify my heart. Jesus said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and that is right, for that is who I am." Dear Jesus, would you please be our teacher and Lord? and that by your Spirit you would indeed purify each of our hearts, that we may indeed be those set apart for you, Lord. And we ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Well, sometimes the Christian life can feel like a voyage at sea during a storm, with our little ship of faith being buffeted by the elements. You can change the slide now for the next one. I'll try and remember that, by the way. If you think I'm talking on something different, just give a little wave and it'll prompt me, or you'll be able to pick up, hopefully, from it. We can sometimes find ourselves overwhelmed, can't we, by waves of difficulty and hardship, stress at work or with life in general. It may be a problem at home. It could be a betrayal of trust, a breakdown in a relationship, health concerns for ourselves or for someone we care about, or simply the daily struggle of being faithful to our Christian calling. Pressures to conform to the standards of this world rather than living God's way. Will I remain faithful to God who is faithful to me? Just how can I keep going? Are some of the questions we might ask ourselves. Well, if you felt like that, then you're in good company, as that's how the disciples were feeling here in John 17. It's Thursday evening, and in just a few hours, Jesus will be handed over to the authorities, and eventually, the following day, he'll be put to death on a cross. And Jesus has been explaining to his disciples over a Last Supper that having spent 3 intense years of close friendship and active ministry, that he is about to depart. And not surprisingly, the disciples are gutted by this prospect, and they're deeply disturbed, not least because of the unknown. It would have felt like the bottom of their world had just disappeared from underneath them. And we may identify with those feelings at different times in our own lives. In a few hours' time, the little ship of the disciples' faith is going to be plunged into the darkest and most severe storm they will ever have to face, as their master and friend, Jesus, is crucified. Facing what seems like an unknown, and deeply disturbed by all Jesus' talk of leaving, they are asking the obvious question: how will we carry on? How will we survive? How will we keep going? And it's at this point in the evening that Jesus prays. Having prayed that God would give him glory as he goes to the cross and through rising again, Jesus, in that Bible reading we had a few moments ago, prays for his disciples. And what Jesus prays for them is not that they might have an easy life, but that God would keep them and help them until they fulfill their mission. In short, Jesus is addressing the very fears and concerns the disciples had when faced with his departure. The fact is, God will not abandon them. God will not leave them alone. They'll be strengthened for the task that God has given them. And whilst Jesus is praying specifically here for his immediate disciples, there are 3 wonderful encouragements and challenges for us as we seek to live for Jesus in a sometimes hostile world. Be that at home, be it in the workplace, and dare I say, even in the church, as we seek to be faithful to Christ as his disciples. For the Christian is rescued from the world. Or as Jesus prays, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They are yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now, what does Jesus mean by the world? Well, in John's Gospel, the world means not planet Earth with all its beauty and splendor that God created. No, rather, the world means everything and everyone that is opposed to God. It is human beings in opposition to God, seeking to run their lives without reference to the God who made them. And as a result, this world is heading for disaster. It's heading for judgment by God for rejecting God. And each of us are natural members of that world order. It tells us that God so loved this messed up, rebellious world that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die so that we don't have to face the consequences of sin, namely judgment and separation from God forever. Instead, God took the initiative to rescue us from sin's hold on our lives, or as we heard in that song, sin's curse, and provided us with a future with him rather than without him. We know that Jesus was sent to be our Saviour. He perished so that we don't have to. And he offers new life to all who put their trust in him, giving us an inheritance that can never perish or fade. Thus, friends, we are rescued from the world by God's loving initiative. So when under pressure to please other people above pleasing God, when tempted to behave as though God doesn't exist, when our faith seems to be really being tested, remember, we are rescued from the world. Secondly, Jesus teaches that we are protected in the world. Or as Jesus put it, as he prayed for his disciples, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Now, do we see what Jesus is saying here? As Christians, we may be rescued from the world, but that does not mean we are to be cocooned in some holy huddle, totally removed from a desperately needy world around us, which needs to hear the gospel, that transforming good news about Jesus. So Jesus prays protection for those who belong to him. But why? Why do we need protecting? Well, quite simply, because we face hostility as a result of being in the world, but not of it. Verse 14 speaks of the antagonism leveled at those whom he loves as they seek to live for him, submit to his word, share his truth. And this continues today, as I'm sure we're all aware. In the Sudan, in India and Nigeria and Indonesia, men and women are suffering for being Christians. And of course, we're beginning to see evidence of this in our own country, aren't we? No, not in the sense of being put to death for our faith, but there is that persistent, knowing assault on those who seek to live out their lives wholly for Jesus. The fact is, many people in our country who are, say, over the age of 60, still have a vestige of Christian values, even if they might not describe themselves as Christians. They grew up within a cultural climate which took such virtues as honesty, integrity, hard work, and courtesy for granted. All of that was the result of hundreds of years of Christian influence. Much of that now is in some quarters being dismissed. The Christian belief system which gave rise to these things is often discarded as being somewhat oppressive or out of date, and has been replaced with a free-for-all individualism with its focus on personal pleasure. However, we can't have it both ways. We cannot declare transcendent values and God's law as non-existent and yet demand the sort of behaviour which flows from those laws. People will turn around and say, "So what? Why shouldn't I do what I want to do?" And there's no moral answer to such a question. Consequently, in such a deteriorating culture like ours, Christians are going to stand out from the crowd all the more as belonging to a different world, living under a different king. And rightly so, because as Christians, we know this world is not the be-all and end-all, for there is a world to come. However, the temptation is easier, isn't it, to go with the flow, because it is easier. And some might say, well, actually, go against the flow is just to be out of touch, to be disconnected from the wider culture. And there is this sense where we have got to connect and engage while remaining true to the one who has called us. You know, in my study at home, I have a postcard which I have blown it up, but it's there facing me every day, and I've blown it up here, and it says on it, "Only dead fish go with the flow." I picked it up a number of years ago, actually, when I was training to be ordained in London. Often Julie and I would go to the Odeon at Barnet. And I remember the film we went to see, actually, when I got this. It was Titanic. So it's going back a few years now. And in the foyer there, there was often this rack of postcards which were free. So I thought, well, I'll have a few of them. And this was one of the postcards. And, you know, it reminds me of some of those programs, you know, like Planet Earth, which I just think are absolutely incredible. They're absolutely awesome. And looking at this postcard reminded me of a particular program where it showed you the salmon. It's called the Salmon Run. And you can watch the salmon, having migrated to the sea, the salmon swim up to the upper reaches of the rivers from where they spawn on gravel beds. And it's just an incredible thing to see. These salmon just going against the flow and the power of the water, often being bashed against rocks, but yet not deterred, because they know where they need to be, because that's where life is. And you know, that image, I think, is just a wonderful image of how sometimes it may be for us as Christians going against the flow. We might get a bit battered, we might be a bit bruised, but we know where our ultimate destination is, which offers life. Only dead fish go with the flow. And Jesus prayed, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." Jesus is under no illusion that as his disciples, we need protection in order to live for him, in order to serve him in his way, in his world. And as Christians, we're not meant to be kept in a bubble, safe from harm. No, we're in the world, but God will keep us. He will protect us and keep us in his love. Thus, finally, and very briefly, the final point is that we're sent out for the world. See what Jesus says in verse 17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Now that word sanctify means to declare holy or to set something apart. And Jesus is saying that he has set apart his people for a purpose. He prays to God to sanctify them by the truth, that is the word of God. And we are declared holy and washed clean by God through his word and the truth of the gospel. And once again, it's by the word of God that we're saved. Yet holiness, as we know, is not just about moral purity. It's also about purpose. Each of us, as Christians, have been entrusted with a task to do as God's holy chosen people. Look at verse 18. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. You know, God has rescued us from the world in order to send us back into the world with the word of God, with the truth. The truth that sets people free, that offers life in all its fullness. Just as Jesus set himself apart in order to sanctify us, he sends us out in the power of his Spirit as his disciples to make disciples. You know, friends, our little ship of faith are not made to stay in the harbour all the time. I was just talking before about I was asked where I come from. And some people think maybe my accent is more northeast. It's actually Whitehaven. I'm a Marra. And before going to college and training to be a minister, I worked for the local council in Whitehaven for a time. And a part of the redevelopment schemes there in Whitehaven. And just last Thursday, as you were sitting enjoying a bag of fish and chips earlier on in the year, we were on the harbour in Whitehaven. And, you know, there's lots of vessels there. But the thing is, those vessels weren't made just to stay in the harbour. They were made to go out to sea. And, you know, our little ship of faith, we're not called just to stay in the security of the harbour all the time. We're called to go out into those seas, but knowing that God will protect us and with us. Now, I have no doubt that sometimes every person in this building and those watching from home or elsewhere can sometimes feel like a ship in peril on stormy seas in heavy storms. But Jesus knew exactly what he was sending his disciples into. He knew what to pray for, which is a summary of our 3 points. That we're rescued from the world through the word of God. That we're protected in the world by the word of God. And that we're sent out for the world with the word of God. May God give you and me the strength to be the kind of people he has called us to be, for whom Jesus prayed. Amen. Well, we're going to have another hymn now, and it's that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace, which speaks of God's amazing grace, that when we were blind, when we were far off, that God has rescued us in his sin. And our chains as a result, the chains of sin, have fallen off. And we're free to be the people he intends. If you are able to, then do please stand, and you can sway about as well as hum if you want to, if it's appropriate. As we continue, let us pray, and Stephen is going to lead us this morning.
So, let us pray. First, some prayers of thanksgiving and confession. Father, thank you for speaking so clearly to us today. Thank you for your living word made effective in our daily lives. Father, thank you for your word of comfort and hope in times of sadness, loss, and need. For your word of healing and restoration in our sickness, frailty, and weariness. Thank you for your word of guidance and protection when we are perplexed in adversity and don't know which way to turn. Thank you for your word that brings joy and strength, kindled in the knowledge of your love, your constant care, and your compassion. We confess our weaknesses, doubts, and disobedience when faced with such challenges, when we neglect and sometimes reject your spoken promises and the assurance of your grace, mercy, and kindness. Forgive us and hear our prayers today. And now some prayers of intercession. And in the pauses, reflect and offer your personal response. We pray for those in our congregation, our families, and among our friends who are in need of comfort and hope. We pray for those who are in need of healing and restoration. We pray for those who are in need of guidance and protection. And prayers for the local church. Father, we pray for the ministry of your word here in this church and in the congregations across this region. We pray for those in leadership, those who preach, those who teach, and those who give pastoral care. For those who serve in administration, practical help, and financial oversight. We pray for Gary, who has shared your word this morning. We give thanks for the call of God on his life, his faithful service, and the exercise of the many talents you have given him to bring people together and share in this task in a spirit of unity. We pray that you will extend the reach and the effectiveness of his ministry. Amen. We pray for Dave and Tim, our ministers. Envision, encourage, and equip them for the work that you have commissioned them to undertake. May they hear your word, discern the Spirit's guidance, and remain faithful and strong in your grace so freely given. Refresh them, Lord, and give them rest in their busyness. Amen. We pray for all local church leaders and congregations that they may experience renewal and growth. We pray and give thanks for all those we know, love, and respect for their unspoken acts of kindness, for their commitment to prayer, and for their words of encouragement. We pray for the congregations emerging from lockdown. We pray for the restoration of our fellowship and service in an ever-growing spirit of unity. Father, be attentive to the personal needs, worries, and hopes of each one as together we take steps to carry on and extend your work here. Prayers for the local community. Father, we pray for those outside the family of the church in these times of uncertainty and searching. May there be a turning to you, Lord. We pray for the Spirit of God to move in a demonstration of power, grace, forgiveness, and reconciliation. Build your church, Lord, in this place, in our generation, we pray. Father, we pray for the restoration and prosperity of local businesses, for the resumption of normal services in health and social care, and for the departments and charities that offer assistance across all areas of need. We pray for our local schools, for pupils, teachers, support workers, and governors. Give success to their efforts to address the consequences of recent closures and restrictions. May there be a strong and early recovery in learning and in well-being of all concerned. Amen. Prayers for our government and authorities. Father, we pray for our government, for ministers, MPs, advisers, for civil servants, and for all the governments of all the nations in their effort to deal with the pandemic and threats to liberty and peace. Give them wisdom, compassion, and courage. Restrain and silence those who seek to exploit and cause harm in political, financial, and ideological matters. Protect those most vulnerable to their schemes, that we may advance your kingdom in peace. We pray all these things, that your kingdom will be advanced and your glory revealed. Amen. Let us pray using the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Stephen. Well, we're coming to the end almost of our time together. A big thank you to our musicians, to our technicians at the back, and to each of you gathering here at PMC this morning, and those who have tuned in from wherever you are. We've got one final hymn, which really seemed very appropriate in following the theme we've been thinking about this morning. It's "Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer," or "Great Jehovah," depending on which your preference is. And Lawrence is going to play for us. He said, "I'm inclined to play it with gusto." And I said, "Well, go for it." So let's stand if you are able to for this. Well, would you please be seated for a closing prayer? And I'm going to read a prayer that St. Paul prayed at the end of his letter to the Christians in Thessalonica. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep in our hearts and minds a knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us, with those we love, and with those we struggle to love, this day and forevermore. Amen. And so we go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.